You're listening to Short Track America on Carnac.com's Internet Media 360 Network, where racers come to get the real story.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Snook River Grill. We are live with Real Racing USA. Hi, guys. We made it.
This is Rick Angie sitting next to me. My name's Jack Smith, and that's Bill Green over there with that, what is that, Everstart hat on?
Yeah, this is the Everstart hat from Walmart.
Yeah, well, you see, I got the Heroes hat on.
That's right.
That's right. You know what? You know, you got all this talk about heroes, and there's heroes this, heroes that, you know? Yeah, people do stuff when they got in desperate situations, they do things, but I'm going to tell you what, the people that wear this kind of hat, this NASA hat, these guys are being heroes every day, man, and they get no publicity unless something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Always good.
They get paid a lot of money, though.
Oh, boy, but man, the stuff they do.
Do you really think so? I wonder how much they make. Anybody know?
Oh, it's got to be good.
Oh, come on.
It's stuff people would do for free.
Yeah, I was trying to say, but if you're a major in the Air Force and you're going off to do some NASA shot, do you actually make more money?
Well, you know,
there's duty pay, maybe, but that's
these guys are up there, like, what, 500 miles or 400 miles up there building a space station, man.
So much for race talk.
Yeah.
Opening the show with
NASA.
Go
real fast, though, Bill.
So, anyway, that's Jack Smith, Bill Green, and Rick Angie.
Well, you know what
Jack's
passionate
about. Okay, that was a great
show.
We'll talk to you later.
You know what
Jack's
passionate about.
Have fun. Good night now.
Oh, my God. You know what Jack's passionate about. That's good. That's good. Hey, listen, we are at the Snook River Grill here in Bradenton, Florida. What's the actual address? You guys know what
I'm 2505 Manatee Avenue East.
2505 Manatee Avenue East. And we would love to see you come on down. If you're out there listening to us and in the neighborhood close to us, come on down and see what's going on. We got Fast Times Productions in the house, and they have got a camera going. This could be bad news.
This could be very bad news.
I have a TV voice and a radio attitude, because I tell you, I don't look good on TV.
This red zit over here on the side of my face.
As far as it goes, I mean, this is not a glamour contest, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, and you know they say that the camera adds weight to you.
Yeah, thanks.
We're in deep trouble.
Notice Bill's getting self-conscious over there. Yeah. So who do we have on the show tonight, Bill?
I don't know, but I'm going to suck it in. Here we go. All right, first off, we're going to have Greg Leonard's going to talk to us a little bit here about his racing career and what he's been doing.
Sprint car driver extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire.
Everybody knows him as Sticks, and he hasn't gained a whole lot of weight in the past 8 years or so that I've known him.
Well, the camera will help him out then.
But, yeah. And his wife's here, and David, his son, is here, and we're going to talk a little bit about David having some issues with things going on in his life that he needs some help. He needs some therapy and some specialized training for mom and dad to be able to do that therapy. And we're going to talk about trying to help make that happen.
Racers helping racers.
There you go. Racers helping racers. Terry Scampton, of course, the president. I'm kind of still the honorary vice president because I haven't helped out a whole lot lately, and I know they're all mad at me, but I really have been busy at times.
Bill, you got to talk to Terry, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I talked to Terry yesterday about this very subject and some other things. He's not in the best of health right this minute. He's on the mend, and he's looking to come back strong. But let me tell you, Terry needs a few prayers along the way because that boy has really put up with some stuff the last 2 years.
And what is, for folks out there that across the United States who haven't heard of Terry Scampton?
Terry Scampton, he was the owner of Lugnuts Race Bar and Grill, and everybody that went
got
to
my
Sunshine.
Shirt on tonight.
There you go. Yep. Everybody that went to Sunshine Speedway or were around Sunshine Speedway right up until its very end, they knew who Terry was. The Tri-City Kart Club, if you race go karts in the neighborhood of. Tampa, Manatee, Bradenton, Sarasota. You probably know who Terry is because you've been to the Tri-City Kart Club events out at DeSoto or up at Sunshine when they were still going there. And he's always been active in things happening in the neighborhood, things happening in the community, and it's been, you know, just an active person when it came to racing in general. The way we got the family fundraiser started and the Racers Helping Racers was when actually, the little girl, and God help me, I can't remember her name, that got shot at home, and her father was a racer at East Bay.
Huh.
And then that same weekend, that Saturday,
it was Wild Bill.
That Wild Bill died.
Right.
And so then a week later, we were going to do the special for her, but we did it for Wild Bill's son, Billy Jr., and God, that was amazing.
So Terry's helped a whole lot of people.
Terry,
and who else are we going to have on the show tonight?
We got Richie Waters coming on. He's the crew chief for Billy Ballou Motorsports, the number 15 Craftsman truck. And this guy's got a really good story with him, man.
Oh, yeah. crew chief for the which one of them Bush guys?
Kyle.
Kyle Bush and
Kyle.
Jeremy Mayfield.
They've had quite an array of drivers drive that number 15
Kevin
truck.
Kevin Grubb's the new one, right?
Kevin Grubb's the new one.
Anyway, we're going to talk to him, and we got Craig Armstrong from Iowa Speedway, Rusty Wallace's new palace.
That's a nice-looking speedway on the camera.
You got a big number two in the middle of the infield?
Phone's ringing again, Bill. It's already ringing off the hook.
Everybody wants to talk to us.
Go ahead. See who's on there, and we'll decide if we want to talk to him or not.
Welcome to Real Racing USA. You are on the air. What can I do for you?
Hi, I'm Whitney Howard. I'm calling in about David Leonard.
Hey, how you doing, Whitney? Now, Whitney is the lady who does some of the therapy for David, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, I tell you what. Jump up out of your seats, guys. Come on down.
Yeah, might as well go ahead and bring them on.
That's right. Greg, we'll bring Greg Leonard. No, we'll start. We'll go backwards because we haven't had a chance to talk about Greg and what he does in racing or has done in racing like we wanted to get into. But we can work through that. If you can hang on with us. Are you in a hurry?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
That was a long...
thank you, man. Oh, God, I don't want to get hung up here. But anyway, first off, Greg, reach up there and make sure the microphone's turned on, buddy, because I know that that's usually... All right. That should do it. Now, if you take it out of the mic stand and just hand it back and forth...
Yeah, just hold it.
That'd be much better. Talk to me, Greg.
Yeah, you there?
Oh, yeah, we're there. All right, Greg Leonard, ladies and gentlemen. Now, how long you been racing, Greg?
I've been racing for about... since I was 10, 9 or 10, so I'm 24 now, so about almost 14 years.
14 years. When did you get into sprint cars? When did you decide to get sprint car racing?
I started when I was 16. Parents went out and bought a used sprinter from Stevie Williams, and been in it ever since. Run different cars, run different places, Knoxville, Alabama, and East Bay, and... That's basically all I've been doing, really, the last 7 or 8 years is racing sprints.
Cool. Now, recently, I guess you've been driving a lot for Clyde Poole, as Clyde's got his back hurt and can't drive, but he's got a great car, and you seem to be doing quite well in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got a two-story shop, and somehow the ladder slipped. He was climbing up to the second story, and the ladder slipped and fell on his back, and... just about killed him.
A two-story shop?
Well, it's not really a two-story shop.
Okay, I was going to say, what kind of
two-story Gibsonton style shop.
What kind of cars do you put together on the second floor?
No, it's got like a loft on each side where we put up different parts and stuff. But
Clyde should not be climbing ladders.
No.
What are some of the highlights of your sprint car racing career?
The first one's getting a sprint car. And then next one is...
what's your biggest win so far, you think?
Yeah.
The Mr. Budweiser.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was taking it back to Fallbrawl against the USCS a couple years back.
And, oh, there you go. That's a good one. There's a lot of people in that one. You got to beat a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. We kind of was sitting back and got lucky on that deal.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. You got to beat Terry Gray, Kenny Adams. I mean, a bunch
that
of
doesn't sound like a whole lot of luck, Bill.
No. You got to work hard to get by them guys.
That doesn't sound like a whole lot of luck.
Them guys coming to town, they're hard to beat.
Well, that's good, man. I'm glad you've had such a great career, and I don't want to rush us along too much, but I know we want to talk a little bit about David and his issues.
Let's get to the reason we're here.
That's right,
really.
Sir. And your lovely wife, Vera, here with you. Vera, welcome to the show. We're glad you could take the time to come on down. And bring
Bill,
David.
Why don't you introduce her, though? I mean, she's just not any Vera.
Well, this is true, and if you've noticed my post on the message board, I fudged a little bit. I went back and edited it and put his name in. She is the granddaughter of one very legendary David Scarborough, and so everybody knows David and his racing career throughout Florida in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. So we're looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to talk to Gramps, but we have to get an opportunity to talk to Vera first about David. And what's going on there now? Catch us right up real quick, Vera, because you're on the phone. We have your therapist
Whitney.
And stuff, Whitney.
Hi,
Whitney. Sorry, babe.
Whitney's still there.
Whitney's hanging in there.
Forgot about Whitney.
So we want to talk a little bit about when you started to see that problems were developing and what you've done to get to where we are now. And you're going to have to make it a fairly synopsis.
Well, basically, David, when he was born, everything was, he was fine.
Okay. Radio 101, that's got to be on your chin.
Just like this.
And then that, it's got to stay there, even if you want to move your head.
Okay, sorry.
Keep it right there.
We disinfect it every week.
There you go.
Don't we?
Go ahead. No, just start talking. We keep talking.
When David was born, everything was fine. And he was about 4 months old, and he couldn't roll over, support his head very well. And then, so we went through a couple I guess, evaluations to see if he qualified for therapy and what type of therapy. And in August, we were introduced to Whitney, and she became his physical therapist at that point. And before he started, he couldn't even open his hands. His thumbs would stay tucked under his four fingers, and his arms would stay tight against him. He couldn't, had any, no support whatsoever in his head and his neck and his torso and legs. And since Whitney's been working with him, he can now open his hands and he can even support himself for a few, what would you say, Whitney, for a few seconds or so with support on 4-point, which is on his hands and knees.
Up to 30 seconds.
Yeah, about 30.
Yeah.
But he's worked a long way to get to that point. It's been, Whitney's now been working with him for, this is your second year now?
For 2 complete years.
Since August of...
04.
So Whitney's worked tremendously with him and done everything she can with him and everything. And Whitney's the one who suggested some alternative therapies and has had him moving along with other therapies such as speech therapy and occupational therapy to help with the movement and motivation of his hands.
Okay. We talked last night on the phone because you kind of caught me up to speed on what was really going on here. You say it's kind of a cross. Whitney, how would you describe it? Is it a cross between Lou Gehrig's and some other form of, setback for a youngster this age?
Well, actually, David doesn't even have a real diagnosis yet. He's just very delayed. He's had MRIs and all kinds of things, but just I don't think they have a true diagnosis yet. He resembles a kid that has cerebral palsy.
Okay. But in reality, most cerebral palsy cases come from some lack of oxygen somewhere in the early years, so to speak. Is that true, or is it something else that triggers cerebral palsy?
There's a lot of different things that can cause cerebral palsy. Anything, any type of event that happens before, during, or after birth can leave a child with cerebral palsy.
Okay. So if these things that David has going on inside him, are they making him completely everything besides the neurologicals and the neurological and everything else kind of develop slower? Or is everything, he's still growing, he's the same size as a kid his age would normally be, yet he's still having trouble with some of the motor skills? Is it only
right.
neurological,
it's,
I guess?
It's only his motor skills that are affected. He's extremely bright and very, very smart child, very social, and it's basically his motor skills that are affected. Everything else about David is like a normal two-year-old.
Okay. The one of the reasons that I brought Greg and Vera and David on to this show was to bring people's awareness up so that we could help them get to where they want to go, the goal of getting to the special therapy, getting the suit that they need, the different equipment that it takes to do that therapy day in and day out to help David get better and get stronger and become, you know, more functional. So when did you hear about this special therapy and what is it all about?
Well, I was trained to actually do the special therapy when I worked for a clinic in Brandon, Pediatric Therapy Services, and they brought someone in to train us how to do it, and they offer the therapy. Now, I don't do the therapy because I now do home-based, and it takes a lot of equipment, like huge equipment that I can carry around in my car, so that's why I'm recommending that David go to a clinic that offers it and do the therapy because I think that he would benefit from it.
Okay, and Vera, you told me you were very enthusiastic and really wanted to go to the Michigan clinic because the person who developed this and all that kind of stuff and came up with this entire therapy process is the person who runs that.
Correct, yeah. Her name's Isabel, and she's the one who basically created the suit and formulated around the anti-gravity suits the astronauts train with. And I have the opportunity for her to be his actual therapist during the 4 weeks of intense therapy with the suit.
Okay. So to make this happen, you were telling me it's like $5,500 for the therapy, and to learn, they teach you how to do the therapy.
Right. They will train me at the same time as they're doing David's therapy.
And then to turn around and come home and do that therapy, you really need to buy the special suit and some of the equipment that goes along with that to make that happen.
Right.
Okay, and that, again, Vera Verify, is about $2,500 worth of equipment, suit, and so forth?
Right, that's the $2,500.
Okay, something's happening with her mic, the bottom of it, when she wiggles it. So Yeah, see, it went and came back again. So they're going to check on that. We'll get our engineer to double-check the microphone over there. Thanks, Henry.
It's a good thing we got Henry around, isn't it?
Yep.
Henry wasn't here last week.
No, he wasn't. All right, try that one. Is it turned on?
Payback's bad, man.
There you go.
There we go.
There we go.
Okay. We need to pay Henry better.
Yes, we got to pay Henry more. All right, so what's your therapist's name? I'm sorry.
Whitney.
I'm sorry, Whitney, now, you've worked a little bit with these suits and all this equipment before.
Oh, yeah.
Training?
Yes.
And so this whole thing, it looks pretty astronomical in the magazine and book that we're looking at.
Yes.
It's got all kinds of neat things that are part of it. But what does this suit do? What does it help the child with? What kind of things does it make it happen?
Well, when you put the suit on the child, there's all different types of rubber bands that attach, and basically it's helping give his brain proprioceptive feedback, which helps him figure out how to use his arms better, because it's giving tension to the right muscle groups and muscle areas, and helps align him, and it helps him learn how to keep his body aligned.
Okay, for even just simple as standing up, there's a special suit that kind of helps you balance yourself and learn to hold your muscles so you do things.
Right. And the bands can be adjusted to work different muscles so that, like, say the muscles when he's standing, you might adjust the bands differently than if you were working on sitting with David. So you can do all different kinds of things with the suit, depending on whatever a child's needs are, what their weakness is.
How long would David need to work with this suit day in and day out to you?
Well, the typical Therasuit program, the child goes for 3 weeks, and they go to therapy every day, 5 days a week, for 4 hours. So they're just getting, like, a huge amount of therapy, and part of the time they wear the suit and do exercises, part of the time they're actually working with weights and different types of pulley systems in the cage. And then part of the time, too, they are working in the cage hooked up to, like, bungee cords so that it helps them stand or sit or whatever they're working on.
Okay. But now when they come home and they've still got the suit and they bought it and they bought the equipment to make it happen,
that's when Sarah and Greg are going to be working with David, and that's why it's so important that they have training. Because if they don't keep working with him, David can potentially lose everything that he gained during the program.
Okay.
It's like if you're an athlete and you work out all season and then you stop, you lose it all eventually.
Okay. So he needs to keep doing this right on through adulthood and straight on up. So even when he gets into
forever.
School years and stuff, he'll still need to use these kind of suits. Now, do these suits you got to go out and buy new ones as he grows?
As he grows, they'll have to buy a new one. They do tend to last a while. And David may get to the point when he's hopefully strong enough that he won't need the suit.
Well, that'd be cool. Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like a long road, number one, to keep up with it and to make it work for David. And I know that they're committed to doing it.
Yes.
And so we're going to be committed to trying to help it happen. I don't know that we can, but hopefully we can do a part of it. And make sure that people get the awareness to know that one of the best racers in the state just needs a little help to take care of his child. And that's one of the things as being a racing family that we always try to step up to the plate and help take care of. So we'll work hard to make it happen. You work hard at the therapy, okay?
Oh, I will.
All right.
He'll tell you all about it.
All right.
Thank
well, we're gonna talk to Vera and Greg a little bit more.
Okay.
And we appreciate you taking time this evening to give us a call.
Thank you.
All
Bye.
Right. Thanks so much. Don't go away, folks, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with Lindsay. lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and U.S. 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Well, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Hi, I'm John Sapricone from DeSoto Super Speedway, the South's fastest short track. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
America has made my fortune. I believe in America.
Karnak.com, your online racing community since 1997. Karnak.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing motorsports message boards, and chat rooms. Karnak.com is multimedia and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Karnak.com. For affordable web hosting to fancy flash animations, Karnak gets it done. www.karnak.com. That's KARNAC.com. The great and powerful Karnak.com.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill in Bradenton, Florida. Let's go back to Bill, Jack, and Rick with tonight's show.
Well, welcome back once again to the Snook River Grill. I'm going to stop playing them pieces. We're going to do it one at a time if I have to. They'll have to hear a lot of background stuff going on. Anyway, we're sitting here, ladies and gentlemen, at the Snook River Grill tonight on Real Racing USA, and we are talking to Greg Leonard, Vera, and David. We've been talking about some of the things that they need, issues that have come up with David, that he needs a little therapy and some special things going on. But, man, let me tell you, this little kid is so lucky because he has a great-grandfather that is one of the legendary drivers in Florida. Everybody knows. If you were around in the 60s, 70s, and beyond, you know Dave Scarborough. And, Dave Scarborough, welcome to Real Racing USA.
Well, thank you.
It is awesome to talk to you, sir. It is an honor, a pleasure, and under these circumstances, I know you wish it would be something else, but what a cool little great-grandson you have.
Yeah, he is. He's just smile and just real enjoyable.
I tell you what. Now, I guess you've probably talked and you understand what they need here when it comes to all this special therapy and special requirements that David needs at this young age. What have you thought of all of this? Do you feel like this is a burden that's been given to a granddaughter that's a tough one, I bet?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's nature. It's just something that happened somewhere along down the line, and good thing that they have therapy and stuff now that can go along and help cure it to make it better.
Now, if I remember, Dave, there was a time in your racing career when you had to have some therapy. Did you not have one of the worst wrecks I can remember?
Well, I compressed a vertebrae in my back, almost paralyzed me. And I was just laid up a couple months, 3 months, and that's about the worst I've had.
But back in those days, that was surely something to be definitely worried about, as opposed to now when they got all kinds of neat surgeries and things going on. But there we go. Now we're getting something. David, talk to us. Tap to Grandpa here. Oh, that's on the other end.
That's on the other end, Bill.
I was looking across the table. I couldn't see
you. You probably hear my other little granddaughter in here hollering, wanting to come in my room.
Hey, Dave, back when you had your wreck, now, there wasn't a whole lot of safety like there is today.
No. Back then, we just we wasn't required very much of any kind of safety stuff. You know, we just had a helmet, and it didn't have to be no special helmets, and just had a seat belt. But sometimes when I raced in my early years, we didn't have racing uniforms. Whatever we wore to work, we just wore to the racetrack and raced.
Do you remember what year you finally got a real fire-retardant racing suit?
No, it's been too long. It's been probably about 30 years back. In my career, actually, it would be probably in the 60s.
Was it really?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I just recently came across, we got copies of all of the copies that were ever printed of the Southern Motorsports Journal. And I opened up the first copy just to look at it. It was somewhere in the 70s. I just opened up the page, and there on the page was Dave Scarborough wins at DeSoto Speedway, and right above it was Dave Scarborough wins the same weekend at Citrus County, I believe. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. We used to run Friday nights in Orlando, Saturday night in Tampa, or either St. Pete, and Sunday in West Palm Beach. And we'd race all year long.
Well, now, Dave, I know you ran a lot of times at places like Golden Gate and Sunshine, some of the ones that people remember real well. But you were running back when they had Plant Field, Phillips Field. You went up north. You went to the old Zephyr Hills track, which was actually Dade City's track then, and such like that. I mean, there was a lot of neat racetracks back in the 60s and 70s that just kind of cropped up in the middle of fields.
Yeah, I sure miss them, too, especially Golden Gate Speedway. That track was about 30 years ahead of its time. It had such a nice place to go race. You had paved pits, had good lighting. They had good grandstands, covered grandstands. That was one of the worst things that ever happened to race in this area, is to lose Golden Gate Speedway.
Well, you know, one thing we talked about Golden Gate Speedway was so far ahead of its time, because it's one of the first places that really had a kind of media guy, and that was Gordon Solie. He got out there and promoted the track and told people about it on the TV or radio or wherever he was at. And so I think that was one of the big things about keeping the crowds up back in those days.
It was Gordon Solie. He knew how to promote, how to keep people interested in it and everything. He was one of a kind person.
Well, Dave, you know, we're going to have a history show on here pretty soon with Marty Little and a lot of the other people that have been around stock car racing and all kinds of racing here in the state of Florida.
Yeah,
we'd like to invite you back on.
Yeah, we'll have you back and guys like Dave Westerman and people that you knew from back in the day, hopefully.
All right.
We have some fun with it. Now, I do want to talk to you real quick about Greg Leonard, your granddaughter, the baby, and so forth. They've got a special event coming up at Citrus County Speedway in Inverness on November the 11th. And will you be making an appearance at that event?
Yes, I'll be there.
Will you'll be doing things like signing autographs and so forth?
I don't know whether I'll be doing that or not. All of the fans up there, most of these done got my autograph.
Hey, well, there you go. We'll get some new fans for you, because there's a lot of new young racers in racing right now.
Yeah.
Do you watch a lot of racing on TV, or do you not pay much attention to NASCAR and stuff?
No, I watch it all the time. Then I go to the sprint car races with one of the boys I'm kind of helping out, Anderson. He with sprint car, kind of gave him some pointers, and the boy that owns it is the one I sort of took in and raised for a while, and they have the sprint car, and they went racing sprinters. So,
all right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to give us a shout. We will look forward to talking to you in the future when we hopefully get people like Harry Campbell, and maybe we'll dig out some of the mothballs off of some of the old drivers and get the Riddles or somebody else to drop by and say hi. I know Buzzy Rudiman's dying to come talk to us, and maybe we'll get him down.
Yeah, I see Buzzy at sprint car races a lot of time. He'll be up there, too.
All right. Thanks so much, Dave Scarborough, ladies and gentlemen. An awesome driver, a legend here in Florida, and we appreciate you stopping by and talking to us.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Grandpa.
All right. That's cool. What was it like growing up with a grandfather that not only raced so much, but was well-known and well-liked in racing circles? I mean, if you went to the track as a young girl, I'm sure you must have noticed that he was a little bit above beyond some of the other guys around him.
Yeah, I think when I was that young, I was just more looking forward to going out to the restaurants after the races were over with.
That's it. Because, I mean, he's won the Little 500. He's done so many things that other drivers just haven't gotten the chance.
Yeah, he told me that they had inducted him into the some type of racing Hall of Fame for when he won the Little Indy 500, and the guy in second place, he had lapped 22 times.
Wow.
22 times on second.
That's pretty cool. Give the mic to Greg before we wind up wrapping up here. But, Greg, we want to appreciate you coming down and talking to us. Getting married to Vera, at what point did you realize who her grandfather was, and did that, you know, put a little pressure on you as a sprint car driver at any time?
I don't know about any pressure or not, but I'll say, when I met her in go-karts, Dad told me who he was, and it's pretty cool.
Did you have to ask around, or did you know the name?
My dad, I didn't know who he was. I was too young to know who he was.
And, okay.
And when I met her, we was 15, and we raced together go-karts up there at Dirt Devils, and my dad ended up finding out somehow or another, and told me about him, and it didn't really click until, like, started racing sprint cars. And
people
like,
started
pretty cool.
Talking about it, huh?
Yeah, I haven't come across one person that that doesn't really, in the racing community, that doesn't know who Dave Scarborough is.
And, no, and they don't say anything bad.
No, not at all. I haven't
Nobody's
heard one
got a bad,
bad
word
thing
to say about
it.
This man either. Not that I remember.
They're all like, hey, I've watched Dave race, and they always seem to like him.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. David, buddy, you hang in there. We're going to see if we can't get you some help and make things a lot better. He's trying. He's laughing. He's giggling. It's so much fun.
Thanks for having us down here,
no
Bill.
No problem, man. I hope it helps.
Hey, thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, shall we take a bottom of the hour break? Play the music.
Welcome back.
Well, we want to thank Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for being on with us, and Dave Scarborough, of course. That was a treat. Yeah, I was reading over the message boards.
Shame
like I
on
usually
you.
Do.
Shame, shame.
Once a week.
What, you actually pay attention to the message board?
Well, Speed World's
I don't know anybody.
Truck got stolen, man.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to tell you something.
Whoa.
Jane's computer got stolen. Her laptop was part of that.
Hey, they've got information.
Just never leave anything at a racetrack you want to take home with you.
But wait a minute. They stole the truck? Is that the one with all the Speedway stuff on it?
The new Fire Rescue Dodge Dakota was stolen.
Oh, okay. But did it have a graphics on it?
I'm sure if it was at Orlando Speed World, it did.
So somebody's driving down the road in a stolen vehicle that says Orlando Speed World.
Didn't they steal a pace truck once from there, too, or something?
Yeah.
How can you not spot these people?
You know, somebody
stole it. Well, they thought they found it. They thought they found it in the pond out front.
Oh, God.
But it was just some old Chevy that somebody parked in there.
You know, somebody stole Billy Barstow's semi-rig.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that.
Last month.
And it drove right by him.
And it drove right by him, and then they chased it down.
While he was on the motorcycle, it drove by the intersection.
Too funny.
Rick Bristol's selling laps for the Hopkins Truck 200. He dropped it down to $10 a lap.
Well,
raised a little money for the Hopkins family, so that's cool.
Maybe we should.
You can get a hold of Rick at 407-497-0448, or you can email him at rbmini68@aol.com if you'd like to participate in that.
CarsRacerMarketing.com.
I was going to say give the number.
CarsRacerMarketing.com. Actually, you just go to the front page of Carnac.com. There's a link to his website, and it has
Didn't
all
I
the
say
information.
I read this off the message board? It's all there.
It's all there.
Message board, check it out.
None of these people listen to the message board, do they?
They don't read it. No,
they don't read us. I got some bad news too.
Our listenership has dropped
to 8,000.
No, it's just under 8,000. We're just under 8,000 this week, from a high of 10,000.
It's a lot of rain.
47 last week.
It's a lot of.
What you guys been smoking?
It's a lot of rain.
You're the one who told me how many we had last week.
I quit smoking, man.
Last week was 11,500.
So much.
We had some hometown boys participating in the ARCA race this past week.
Oh, boy, did we.
Yeah. Well, Scott Lagasse, he finished third. Tim Russell, he's a good one, man.
Tim's a good one.
He's sharp, man. I love watching him race.
Tim's a good one.
He finished eighth. Super Mario. I got a story on that
Super Mario
someday. I'll let you know about that. He finished 28th, broke a gear in that one.
We have to get his guy to come in here. He lives right here down the road from
us.
Yeah,
I started to say.
Up the road.
Up the road.
Yeah, up the road.
No,
yeah,
Carter.
Oh, Carter.
Yeah.
Carter Grandel.
They're nearby.
No.
They're nearby.
His attorney representative guy.
Oh, James Carter.
James Carter.
James
there
Carter.
There you go.
PA.
Yeah, Dwayne Bryan was in that race. He finished 13th, and Brian Silas from Stuart, Florida, finished 35th. He had an accident.
Yep. Some accidents, some mechanical things kind of hurt.
How come people were getting the error on the Orlando and the New Smyrna?
No, not people, person.
Person, Jimmy McKinley.
Jimmy McKinley.
Oh, okay, that answered.
He didn't clear off his cookies.
Just so everybody knows, it was erroneously reported that the Pure Stock purse at DeSoto had been cut to $100. It hasn't been. That's official.
You know, another guy, what's it? What's $100, Pearson?
Pretty good anyway.
The late model dude, Pearson? What's his first name?
Pearson.
Yeah.
How do we get the
late model, the dirt late model guy.
Earl Pearson.
Earl Pearson Jr.
Yeah, he won a big, big race. John Birdie has a story on Southern Short Track about him.
John Birdie doesn't miss a beat, man.
No, John's been busy.
On that Southern Short Track.
John's been busy. Or John's been not busy.
I bet it goes through a mouse
every 2 weeks.
He's been
busy on the message boards and so forth. He's putting up a bunch of stuff. He's tracking stuff down.
Mr. Excitement, isn't that what you called him? Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Table went off kilter.
Well, you know what I was talking about, this hero thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something.
Birdie's a hero?
Yeah, if you never seen this up close, it's a really cool thing. The other night at 4 o'clock in the morning, just to prove that I'm still young at heart, I drug my wife out to the car at 4 o'clock in the morning with no sleep, drove all the way across the state of Florida to see the space shuttle launch. Up close and personal.
That's where you got the hat.
Yeah, it was 6 miles away, up close and personal.
Sometimes I worry about you.
You know what the coolest thing in the whole thing was?
Back to the NASA thing, Bill.
Do you know what the coolest thing of the whole trip was? This thing takes off.
Get up in the middle of the night and start to go watch an airplane take off that either takes off or doesn't take off, and it goes straight up.
Yeah, for about 20 seconds. It was really cool, though.
And then it gets so far out of sight, your bifocals
The coolest thing was the crowds of people, when they all applauded, man, it was really, really, one of those patriotic.
I got up about 9:30, stood out on my balcony and watched it. I could see a perfect clear sky and everything.
Yeah, it looks like
it was just a
giant Roman candle.
A little speck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody holds their breath until the boosters have separated.
Yes, and then they all applauded again.
Again. That's right.
Yeah.
Don't doubt really it for
cool.
a minute.
Yeah, it's really cool. Who's that?
What do you got? That guy.
Yeah, well,
You guys quit pushing papers. I can't see.
No, that's okay. So we have a couple of other.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we bring a couple of our guests up here who are in the house? Rick and Susan are.
Yeah, Fast Times
Productions.
Well,
Susan.
Susan. Well, you
she went shopping, Rick.
Yeah, she went shopping.
They are actually, for the love of God, they are actually videotaping us. I don't know if that's going to work
out. That camera's on you, Bill. It's not on us.
It's no, not
well,
on
it's
us.
It's probably going right under the table and seeing your angle.
Yeah, we got you.
It's Rick Ariyama.
You sure you know what you're doing? You're in here taping.
And Susan, who's not here.
Susan.
What happened to your wife?
She's MIA.
Okay.
She had to make a couple of phone calls.
If you can hear me in the restroom, Susan, hurry. We need you.
Fast Time Productions. Fast Times.
Fast Times Productions.
Fast Times Productions.
You know, the S's on there.
And I'm not saying that people are kind of anal about that sometimes, but Cosmic Waves Production is what he used to do. And I used to go Cosmic Waves Productions, and he'd freak out.
You know, the last guy we worked with used that term all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Production or productions.
No, not that term. The other one.
Ain't
freak out. Oh, okay. What can I say? Anyway, how long have you guys been doing Fast Times Productions?
Well, we've been doing it about 4 years now, just kind of piddling around with it. And my wife.
Your story about why you started, though.
Well.
Hey, Bill, quit interrupting the guests.
Make sure you remember.
No, my wife just was enjoying watching me race, and we just want a little bit of an archive for ourselves and, you know, some of our own little memories. And it just a couple of the guys that some of the other racers and wives come up all the time, you know, hey, man, let me get one of those videotapes from you. Look what the cat drug in. We found Susan. And, you know, we figure maybe there's a little bit of a market for it, and instead of just giving the DVDs away, we decided to start selling them, and invested a few bucks, bought a couple of computers, a couple more cameras, and actually very nice cameras, a little bit larger of just a regular Sony camera, and it's just been snowballing from there. And Bobby Deal last year asked us to come aboard and do the Fast Truck series, and we've just been loving every minute of it.
Well, now, you guys got into it, if you did it in the last 4 years, and you've never done a VHS kind of thing. It was always making DVDs.
Yeah, well, I'll let the higher-up explain that a little bit.
Excuse me, the president and CEO of Fast Times Productions.
Yeah, well, her name's first on the license.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to Real Racing USA.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine. We're talking about you started taping, I guess, his racing, and kind of that snowballed into this thing that you do every weekend now. But when you first started and people started asking you, hey, could I have a DVD or a copy? I mean, it wasn't no big deal. You go home, make a copy in your computer probably or something, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I'm sure that's what you still do.
Well, but I invested in a more powerful computer than most people have. It's just not a...
Well, that's
normal
cool.
computer.
But now, at what point did you guys, who said the words first, hey, maybe we could do this for a business?
Well, more or less me. Like I said, I was filming them. The main reason I was filming them, because everyone was crashing them.
I'll show you who wrecked my
Let's
feet.
Go to the videotape.
That's right. That's right. Take this DVD home and show it to your husband, because if he comes back next week and
Well, you know, they would deny it. They go, well, what happened? What did I do? I
showed and what you track was this? What track was this?
Auburndale, Bronson, Ocala. Oh,
you went to quite a few then. So you were traveling. What kind of car were you racing?
Mini Cup.
Oh, the Mini Cups. Oh, I was at Auburndale when those kind of showed up. Remember, it was like...
We've had them out there at DeSoto, and it's like they're running Daytona out there.
Yeah, I retired in 93, so it had to be 94. We started running Mini Cups, and we had the first one that came out.
Auburndale's where they first started, isn't it?
Yeah, and they used to hop around. If you got them turned around, they'd hop because they'd be straight direct drive. And the guy came sliding up out of it when he got hit one time. He came out of the back door.
Right. back when you guys used to watch them, they were rigid chassis.
Yeah.
Now they're it's pretty much just a miniature version of a super late model, NASCAR, Busch car type.
How much money's in it?
Yeah, you can have up to $10,000-$12,000 in one of these cars.
What size motor?
A go kart.
Well, they start off with a 13 horsepower Honda, and when we get done doing what we do to them, and we're not going to say nothing about cheating parts. You know, we're not cheating until we get caught, but you can punch them up to about 21, 22 horsepower.
That's cool.
And well, how much do they weigh?
With driver, 680 pounds.
Now, Susan, back to you real quick. How long did it take you to learn to pan and do things correctly that a regular photographer had to learn, you know, and probably got some training maybe even at?
It took me most that rest of that year that I had started to really get it down pat. But I would say probably 12 races.
Oh, that's okay.
To start getting steady on it.
And Jack will tell you, that's the best way to learn to do most anything. Is just get out there and do it. When you make mistakes, you'll see them and so forth, and you'll fix it.
The most thing was catching the wrecks and not feel, when everyone started wanting tapes or copies, I had to kind of stay away from him because they didn't want a tape. Of just him.
I understand.
So
now, at what point did you get out of the cockpit of the car, so to speak, and start doing taping, and do you still race? I mean, I didn't even pay attention if you're still racing.
No, last year was my last year. I kind of need a little bit of help, and also I'm the Florida Mini Cup champion of last year in 2005.
You do the Rusty Wallace, step out while you're on top.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's funny you say that, because I did run the Altel car. I run the Altel lookalike, and Rusty Wallace said, last call. Well, being as Ryan Newman was all with Altel, I said it was my last phone call.
There you go.
What are them cars? I mean, they're real tiny, right?
Yeah. They're half scale.
They're half scale? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're laying up against the motor.
We've already done that.
While you were out, we talked about the car.
Rick, when you do a Saturday night show, from the time that, say, you leave the racetrack until it becomes the final product, how long does that take, and what does that involve?
I knew he was going to turn the microphone back
around. I got a feeling that Rick don't do a whole lot with this.
He runs a camera and hands it to her and says, go, honey,
I'm
going to sleep.
That's exactly what he does.
Now, do you stay up real late and do it, or you wait till the next morning and kind of sleep? And
I don't have a life with my husband no more. You can go on the computer online if you know, have a
divorce
AOL
court
or whatever.
Will begin in 10 minutes.
That's the next short track.
But do you actually just put it up raw, so to speak? Just get home, put it up, or do you edit everything around? And so
I start from the time that I get home until we go back racing again. I am at the computer from 7 in the morning to 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
All week.
A normal racing program, probably three and a half hours. What do you condense it down to?
I put it all there.
I mean, you don't take every lap, every caution flag, you don't edit anything out?
No, I don't. We don't need to, because it's all nice and clean.
So your DVDs are 3.5 hours long?
No, excuse me. They're not that long.
Okay.
They're about 2 hours long.
Okay. But, I mean, you basically get everything.
Well, like when we film the fast trucks, you have three different classes there.
Right.
If I'm filming the pro trucks, I dedicate one tape to them. Their race only lasts maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
We do a lot of interviews, action shots, car shots, practice. We do pit area.
Crashes. That's what they buy them.
But now, if you're there just to do the fast truck program, then you're getting, do you do qualifying too?
Yes, we do.
So you do qualifying, you do three feature events, and so to get that down to 2 hours probably ain't too hard. But do you take pictures of the other races, support races that are going on also, or do you not worry about that because you got too much tied up in their fast
only
program?
On Friday night at Ocala, now we will film that night of racing.
Okay.
And that's separate. And then when we do the fast trucks, but
That's basically what I was talking about, because y'all are the videographers for Ocala, right?
Yes.
You do all that. So, I mean, through the course of the whole night, you record everything? I mean, you got to cut some of it out.
Well, she records it all, but it sounds like she does edit it down.
Just a little, but that's what I was saying. Like, if we're doing the trucks or the late models, or Ocala Speedway, everybody has their separate DVD tape. In other words,
how many different cameras do you use?
Gotcha. We have two cameras.
Two cameras.
One is filming the races, and if I'm not doing a driver's bio, which is filming just that driver on the track, then I am catching a lot of the wrecks also with the other camera.
So basically you got two action cameras on there, but you have to put both of those together.
Yes.
What kind of program do you use to do that?
That's my secret.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's some really good digital
video
stuff out there, because I did a little bit with digital video in the school, but
right.
It's
just
tough.
Like Colonel Sanders, she's not going to give out that secrecy.
And she shouldn't. No, I don't.
No, I don't blame her.
That's fine. But now my trick is, you mentioned personal bios. So driver XYZ comes to you and says, listen, you're doing these videos of these races anyway, and I'm in them. Can you do one specially on me so I can use it for sponsors or something?
Exactly.
And then that's the kind of thing you guys do. You need to expand on that and let them know what you do.
What's it like at Ocala?
As in racing?
We didn't cover that one yet, Bill.
Or as the track?
I want to know.
Well, go ahead, Jack.
I want to know.
It's Jack's minute.
Well, you were in the bathroom. Oh, there we go. Tell Jack about Ocala, please.
Tell me about Ocala. I mean, I've been up there. I was up there. As a matter of fact, I met
Jack, you need this microphone here.
I met you guys up there earlier this year, right?
Right? Can we get Henry's and bring the medication, Henry? We're short.
Give me some more coffee. So, you know, it's like I thought that Mark, is his name Mark? Mike Peters?
Michael Peters.
Him and his...
I
mean, they're doing a great job, and it just seemed like it was
fantastic,
a really, really
job.
Cool place, and I wondered how it's gone over the year.
Well, from quite a few years back, I mean, it was a good track, nice facility. What, you want her to talk?
No, go.
Okay.
No, go. We're just we weren't sure if you were fixing to say it gone to hell in the
answer. No, it's just a little inside thing here. I'm poking these guys into ribs.
Michael Peters bought the track in middle of December of last year, and he's totally refurbished that whole entire place. Grandstands, bathrooms, restaurant areas, you know, for all your snacks and stuff. And I got to say, I'm a hometown DeSoto Speedway boy. And that's where I cut my roots, my teeth, you know, and my roots really go back to. But I really got to say that Ocala Speedway's got to be one of the finer tracks in Florida right now. I mean, he's got to import $1 million in this place. Where he gets his money, I have no idea. It ain't my business. But the bleachers, they're safe. They got some great hosts and commentary. I forgot the
You're talking about
boy's
the Wolfman.
Name.
Well, they got the great lighting,
right,
too.
Right.
They got the Musco lighting.
Wolfman.
Yeah, he's great.
They got Musco lighting. Yeah.
Yeah, makes right.
Your job
now, the only thing he hasn't done, and this is not a knock on him at all, but the track itself, and in refinishing it and doing things, it's got that weird shape because of the rock in turn four, the earth underneath. And,
correct.
And it's like a weird...
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Bill.
To change it would be too much money.
No. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. When you go to Ocala Speedway and you watch one of them big, super late model races, there's no place better to sit than in turn four and watch them guys come into
it's
that...
It's a hairpin.
A hairpin turn.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It's a true D shape.
Yeah, it's really...
Drive a school bus there.
Yeah, it makes them... To me, that makes the whole thing cool.
Yeah, it is. It's an awesome track. There's no doubt about it. But the way they built it, because they had some problem digging the rock to make the foundation for it, it's got that sharp turn at the end because they tried to dodge whatever's outside turn three.
Oh, but it's definitely an awesome track, you know. I mean, any of the other local drivers in Florida, you know, DeSoto Speedway, Orlando Speed World, you know, those are pretty much like sister tracks, but you really want to test some driving skill. You know, if you haven't been there before, and whoever has been there, They'll tell you it's definitely a driver's track. You better set your car up, or because you're not going to like Jack says, you're not going around turn four like you think you are.
No, you got to really get slow.
It's like it's like Concord a little bit. Concord up in North Carolina is like that. It's like got the sharp,
right?
Sharp,
but Ocala is just a little bit smaller.
Smaller, yeah.
Bill's catching the phone.
Adam, you notice I turned that rigger on?
Yeah,
just to shock him.
Yep.
Yeah. So. So you're there every week that you're not somewhere else, like doing. You're at a racetrack just about every weekend.
Every weekend we're somewhere filming somebody somehow, you know. But you know, personal bios is a great marketing tool. you know, not to keep plugging Fast Time Productions, but we're one of the few people out there now that actually have been marketing.
Rick, I hate to interrupt you, man, but not that.
Okay.
That's why you're here, to plug Fast Time
right.
Productions, man.
Well, you know, I mean, but there's very few people out there doing what we do now.
Excuse me just a minute. I think we have Mr. Excitement on the phone. I think he called us in. John Birdie.
Hello there. How you all doing tonight?
See, this is just
He worked on it. Yeah. The hello there. I got, yeah. got going.
We do allow people from up north on our show. This is just to prove the point.
Yeah, but he had to live there.
It's only been 2 weeks in a row. How many shows have we done?
He was on our show last week?
You said up north.
You know,
up north.
If you count the, total number of shows we've all done, it's 227.
John, what's the latest and greatest?
What's the latest and greatest?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, some articles I've been posting on Southern Short Track, writing of my own. Someone got me going about the crate motors. I noticed a message on the message boards. So I figured, yeah, it's okay. Time to throw together an article about crate motors and express the thing.
I thought we did this crate motor thing.
Yeah, that crate motor stuff has been on and off our minds and our lips and all for, about 3 years now that I've been here down south with you great guys?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Hey, John, let me. I never asked Bud you this, but why? Why did you decide to?
Men of genius.
John, why did you decide to?
A loaded question.
Why did you decide to stay down here?
To stay down here?
Yeah. Why'd you come down here?
I came down here for weather, man. I had it with snow, sleet, freezing rain. The winter is up in...
So everything's not better the way they do it up north, right?
Well, no, they don't do weather too well up north sometimes.
I knew there was one thing.
They don't have any domed stadiums for Saturday night races.
I knew there was one thing, though.
There's been domed stadium talk going on for Plainfield, Connecticut. It's been an on-and-off thing for the last, maybe about 5 years or so. Nothing's ever become of it.
Did you not tell me one time, Jack, that went by the brain of East Bay Raceway Park? They wanted to cover it.
A lot of things went through Stan's brain. But they were trying, people up there were trying to do that in Pittsburgh, too. But the thing is it costs more money than, you know.
You'll ever make.
You could ever possibly, I mean, you might as well, you know, build a tunnel under the Atlantic Ocean. It's like because of the air, you know, the air.
Hey, John, what's the latest news that you haven't even gotten up on the message board or anything yet? What have you heard today maybe that can put out the
what
people?
What have I heard today?
Yeah, what's new?
Man, I just got up from taking a little nap so I can go out later on and do one of my shows.
All right, John, we're
going
to so much. John, we're going to give you a quiz here. Let's see how up you really are.
Okay.
Who took over Junior's ride in the Pro Cup?
Well, oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. All
we
right,
stopped
all right.
him.
See that tape I sent you? That's Jeopardy music.
I'll give you a hint.
I'll huff and I'll puff.
Now in the Pro Cup, man.
Which JR initials is the same as the initials of my first name and middle name. And Johnny Rumley?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Johnny Rumley did. We're going to have
right.
him on our show next
All
week.
Right.
Or next week.
Okay. Well, we got one question down. You got another now?
Who had to leave that ride?
I thought I'd get him. I really thought I'd get him.
Who left the ride?
So who left the ride?
Yeah, and where did he go?
Oh, boy.
Question
who
with a question.
Yeah, you're going to really... let me see.
Oh, come on. Come on, John.
You got to realize on board. There that that's not my board. Man.
Anchors
that's
away, my friend.
All right. Shane Hawkins.
Uh-huh, he's looking. His fingers are working fast.
I was thinking about that, about Shane, because I heard about him over the weekend, about his he's got a new ride coming up, too.
This is what makes these trivia contests and so forth almost impossible to stump people, because they sit there with Google and every other thing,
yeah.
and then Karnak.
Yeah, Google.
And how long did people put pictures
guys,
on your message board, and
DSL,
you could put your cursor over it and tell who it was?
Right.
Ever since I got DSL, man, I can move around pretty fast now, where before with my phone line hook up the old-style stuff there, I could never move around this quickly.
So, John, you were originally from Massachusetts, is that correct, or Connecticut?
That's right, born and brought up in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there better race car drivers coming out of Massachusetts or are they coming out of Florida? Now we're going to test your metal.
Your grit, actually.
Your cuff.
Yeah.
Are there better drivers? Man alive. There's some good talent coming out of Massachusetts when you go in and you take a look and see the stuff that's going on with the NASCAR Modified Tour. Got to be honest about that.
Well, why don't you? I'll tell you what. Why don't you arrange next week? We'll have you find the best driver that you got in Massachusetts. You get him on our show, and we'll dig up the best driver we can think of in Florida, and we'll put them both on the phone at the same time.
Open wheel driver.
Open wheel. There you go.
Okay,
open wheel.
You want to have? Okay.
We'll put them on the phone at the same time.
Modified tour driver.
There you right. go. That'll work.
Whalen Modified Tour driver.
And they got to be good right now, not just they.
And you're
going to
take Christian or Chrisman or whatever it was.
Well, yeah, we tried to get Teddy Christopher on.
Christopher,
the show,
yeah, there you go.
I think either with last year or maybe the year before that, and all that fell through. But,
2 minutes, Mr. Binney.
We could try Ted Christopher or maybe
Henry.
Mike Pisanic.
Okay, so who in Florida stacks up against Christopher?
Who stacks up against Christopher?
Who are we going to get?
We'll work on it. We're not going to tell him.
Thank you.
Christopher's a veteran driver. He's been around for a long, long time. Who do you have that's been a veteran driver and been around for a pretty long time?
And still winning?
Probably.
Well, it's got to be somebody you can get, John.
Wayne Anderson?
It's got to be somebody you can get.
You got to be able to get him for being on the air next week.
And Wayne doesn't drive an open wheel that
long. No, not Wayne Anderson.
You
no.
want to have, okay, you want to have, man, you're going to make it difficult.
Montezuma.
Okay, open wheel, not Teddy.
The alligator man.
Drive
the
alligator
Bobby, man. Bobby, that would be awesome.
Driven.
Bobby Montezuma.
Zeebo.
We'll get Zeebo in here.
Zeebo.
Wayne Anderson's only driven late models.
You're still talking about Wayne?
Wow.
He's done late models and trucks lately, but.
Miles
so how many racetracks do you have in the great state of Massachusetts?
Oh, there's where we have a big old problem. The only thing that's left is Seekonk Speedway and Seekonk Mass. That's an actual full-blown, full-size car racetrack. And the other thing we've got is Whip City Speedway, which was in my hometown before I moved down here. I lived in Westfield, Massachusetts.
Two tracks?
And, you got two tracks?
You got two tracks in the whole state?
I knew there were two.
But they do it so good up there.
Oh, yeah.
They should all. There should be 30. I mean, that's what everybody tells me.
There's no place to put them between the trees.
They used to be there.
Can't see the.
Hey, John.
Can't see the state for the forest.
So, what's the last? What's the latest in the NASCAR thing? What have you been working on?
What have I been working on? Well,
yeah. Bill's giving me the like get you off the air sign here.
Yeah, Henry's fixing a switch.
It's commercial time.
You can have people read my article that I got about real playoff for Nextel Cup Championship. I've got that on Southern Short Track. I just revived that story because we're heading into the chase, and we've had NASCAR talk about wanting to formulate some.